Chapter 19. Holden. Naomi, prep the ship. We have to get off this moon. We have to do it right now. All around Holden, the black filament spread, a dark spider's web with him at the center. He was on Eros again. He was seeing thousands of bodies turning into something else. He thought he'd made it off, but Eros just kept coming. He and Miller had gotten out, but it got Miller anyway. Now it was back for him. "What's the matter, Jim?" Naomi said from the distance of the suit radio. "Jim? Prep the ship." "It's the stuff," Amos said. He was talking to Naomi. "Like from Eros." "Jesus, they..." Holden managed to gasp out before the fear welled up in his mind, robbing him of speech. His heart banged against his ribs like it wanted out, and he had to check the oxygen levels on his HUD. It felt like there wasn't enough air in the room. Out of the corner of his eye, something appeared to scuttle up the wall like a disembodied hand, leaving a trail of brown slime in its wake. When Holden spun and pointed his assault rifle at it, it resolved into a bloodstain below a discolored patch of ice. Amos moved toward him, a worried look on his broad face. Holden waved him off, then set the butt of his rifle on the ground and leaned on a nearby crate to catch his breath.
"We should probably move out," Wendell said.
He and Paula were helping hold up the man who'd been gutshot. The injured man was having trouble breathing. A small red bubble of blood had formed in his left nostril, and it inflated and deflated with each ragged gasp the man took. "Jim?" Naomi said in his ear, her voice soft. "Jim, I saw it through Amos's suit cam, and I know what it means. I'm getting the ship ready. That encrypted local traffic? It's dropped way off. I think everyone's gone."
"Everyone's gone," Holden echoed.
The diminished remains of his Pinkwater team were staring at him, the concern on their faces shifting to fear, his own terror infecting them even though they had no idea what the filament meant. They wanted him to do something, and he knew he had to, but he couldn't think what it was. The black web filled his head with flashing images, running too quickly to make sense, like video played at high speed. Julie Mao in her shower, the black thread surrounding her, her body twisted into a nightmare. Bodies scattered across the floor of a radiation chamber. The zombie-like infected staggering off the trams in Eros, vomiting brown bile on everyone around them. Even a drop of the goo, a death sentence. Video captures of the horror show Eros had become. A torso stripped to a ribcage and one arm, dragging itself through the protomolecule landscape on some unknowable mission.
"Cap," Amos said, then moved over to touch Holden's arm.
Holden yanked away, almost falling over in the process. He swallowed the thick, lemony-flavored saliva building up in his throat and said,
"Okay, I'm here. Let's go. Naomi, call Alex. We need the Rossi."
Naomi didn't answer for a moment, then said, "What about the block?"
"Right fucking now, Naomi," Holden yelled. "Right fucking now, call Alex right now."
She didn't reply, but the gutshot man took one final ragged breath and then collapsed, nearly dragging the wounded Wendell to the floor with him.
"We have to go," Holden said to Wendell, meaning, "We can't help him. If we stay, we all die."
Wendell nodded but went to one knee and began taking the man's light armor off, not understanding. Amos pulled the emergency med kit off his harness and dropped down next to Wendell to begin working on the wounded man while Paula watched, her face pale.
"Have to go," Holden said again, wanting to grab Amos and shake him until he understood. "Amos, stop. We have to go right now. Eros..."
"Cap," Amos interrupted. "All due respect, but this ain't Eros."
He took a syringe from the med kit and gave the downed man an injection.
"No radiation rooms, no zombies puking goo, just that broken box, a whole lot of dead guys in these black threads. We don't know what the fuck it is, but it ain't Eros, and we ain't leaving this guy behind.
The small, rational part of Holden's mind knew Amos was right. And more than that, the person Holden wanted to believe he still was would never consider leaving even a complete stranger behind, much less a guy who'd taken a wound for him. He forced himself to take 3 deep, slow breaths. Prax knelt by Amos's side, holding the medkit.
Naomi, Holden said, meaning to apologize for yelling at her.
Alex is on the way, she replied, her voice tight but not accusing. He's a few hours out. Running the blockade won't be easy, but he thinks he's got an angle. Where is he putting down? Holden found himself answering before he'd realized he'd made the decision.
Tell him to land in the somnambulist berth. I'm giving her to someone. Meet us outside the airlock when we get there.
He pulled the mag key for the somnambulist out of a pocket on his harness and tossed it to Wendell.
This will get you on the ship you're taking. Consider it a down payment for services rendered.
Wendell nodded and tucked the key away, then went back to his injured man. The man appeared to be breathing.
Can he be carried?
Holden asked Amos, proud of how steady his voice sounded again, trying not to think about the fact that he would have left the man to die a minute before.
No choice, Cap.
Then somebody pick him up, Holden said.
No, not you, Amos. I need you back on point.
I got him, Wendell said. I can't shoot for shit with his hand busted.
Prax, help him, Holden said. We're getting the hell out of here.
They moved as quickly as injured people could back through the base, back past the men and women they'd killed getting in and, more frighteningly, the ones they hadn't. Back past Katoa's small, still corpse. Prax's gaze drifted toward the body, but Holden grabbed his jacket and shoved him toward the hatch.
It's still not May, he said. Slow us down and I leave you.
The threat made him feel like an ass the moment it left his lips, but it wasn't idle. Finding the scientist's lost little girl had stopped being the priority the instant they found the black filaments. And as long as he was being honest with himself, leaving the scientist behind would mean not being there when they found his daughter, twisted into a monster by the protomolecule, brown goo leaking from orifices she hadn't been born with, the black threads crawling from her mouth and eyes. The older Pinkwater man who'd been covering their exit rushed over to help carry the injured man without being asked. Prax handed the wounded man off to him without a word and then slid in place behind Paula as she scanned the hallways ahead with her machine pistol. Corridors that had seemed boring on the trip in took on a sinister feel on the way back out. The frosted texture that had reminded Holden of spider webs when he'd come in now looked like the veins of some living thing. Their pulsing had to be caused by adrenaline making his eyes twitch. 8 rems burning off Jupiter onto the surface of Ganymede. Even with the magnetosphere, 8 rems a day. How quickly would the protomolecule grow here, with Jupiter endlessly supplying the energy? Eros had become something frighteningly powerful once the protomolecule had taken hold. Something that could accelerate at incredible speeds without inertia. Something that could, if the reports were right, change the very atmosphere and chemical composition of Venus. And that was with just over 1 million human hosts, and 1,000 trillion tons of rocky mass to work with at the beginning. Ganymede had 10 times as many humans, and many orders of magnitude more mass than Eros. What could the ancient alien weapon do with such a bounty? Amos threw open the last hatch to the shadow base, and the crew was back in the higher traffic tunnels of Ganymede. Holden didn't see anyone acting infected. No mindless zombies staggering through the corridors. No brown vomit coating the walls and floor, filled with the alien virus looking for a host. No Protogen-hired thug shepherding people into the kill zone. Protogen is gone. An itch at the back of his mind that Holden hadn't even been aware of pushed its way to the front. Protogen was gone. Holden had helped bring them down. He'd been in the room when the architect of the Eros experiment died. The Martian fleet had nuked Phoebe into a thin gas that was sucked into Saturn's massive gravity. Eros had crashed into the acidic and autoclave-hot atmosphere of Venus, where no human ships could go. Holden himself had taken Protogen's only sample of the protomolecule away from them. So who had brought the protomolecule to Ganymede? He'd given the sample to Fred Johnson as leverage to be used in the peace talks. The Outer Planets Alliance had gotten a lot of concessions in the chaos that followed the brief Inner Planets War, but not everything they'd wanted. The Inner Planets fleets in orbit around Ganymede were proof of that. Fred had the only sample of the protomolecule left in the solar system, because Holden had given it to him. "It was Fred," he said out loud without realizing it. "What was Fred?" Naomi asked. "This. What's happening here. He did this." "No," Naomi said. "To drive the inner planets out, to test some kind of super weapon, something. But he did this." "No," Naomi said again. "We don't know that." The air in the corridor grew smoky, the nauseating scent of burning hair and flesh choking off Holden's reply. Amos held up a hand to halt the group, and the Pinkwater people stopped and took up defensive positions. Amos moved up the corridor to the junction and looked off to his left for several moments. "Something bad happened here," he finally said. "I've got half a dozen dead. More than that, celebrating." "Are they armed?" Holden asked.
"Oh, yeah."
The Holden who would have tried to talk his way by them, the Holden who Naomi liked and wanted back, barely put up a struggle when he said, "Get us past them." Amos leaned out around the corner and fired off a long burst from his auto shotgun. "Go," he said, when the echoes of the gunshots had faded away. The Pinkwater people picked up their wounded and hurried up the corridor and beyond the battle. Prax jogged along close behind, head down and thin arms pumping. Holden followed, a glance showing him dead bodies on fire at the center of a wide hallway. Burning them had to be a message. It wasn't quite bad enough yet for them to be eating each other. Was it? There were a few bodies lying outside the fire, bleeding out on the corrugated metal floors. Holden couldn't tell if they were Amos's handiwork. The old Holden would have asked. The new one didn't. "Naomi," he said, wanting to hear her voice.
"I'm here.
We're seeing trouble out here."
"Is it?"
He heard the dread in her voice.
"No, not the protomolecule. But the locals may be bad enough."
"Seal up the locks," Holden told her, the words coming to him without thought. "Warm up the reactor. If something happens to us, leave and rendezvous with Alex. Don't go to Tycho."
"Jim," she said, "I
don't go to Tycho. Fred did this. Don't go back to him."
"No,"
she said, her new mantra.
"If we aren't there in half an hour, go. That's an order, XO."
At least she would get away, Holden told himself. No matter what happened on Ganymede, at least Naomi would make it out alive. A vision of the nightmare Julie, dead in her shower, but with Naomi's face, flashed in his mind. He didn't expect the little yelp of grief that escaped him. Amos turned and looked back at him, but Holden waved him on without a word. Fred had done this. And if Fred had, then Holden had too. Holden had spent a year playing enforcer to Fred's politician. He'd hunted ships and killed them for Fred's grand OPA government experiment. He'd changed the man he'd been into the man he was now, because some part of him believed in Fred's dream of the liberated and self-governed outer planets. And Fred had secretly been planning this. Holden thought of all the things he'd put off so that he could help Fred build his new solar system order. He'd never taken Naomi to meet his family back on Earth.
Not that Naomi herself could ever have gone to Earth, but he could have flown his family up to Luna to meet her. Father Tom would have resisted. He hated travel. But Holden had no doubt that in the end he would have gotten them all to come meet her once he explained how important she'd become to him. And meeting Prax, seeing his need to find his daughter, made Holden realize how badly he wanted to know what that was like. To experience that sort of hunger for the presence of another human being. To present another generation to his parents. To show them that all the effort and energy they had put into him had paid off. That he was passing it along. He wanted, almost more than he'd wanted anything before, to see the looks on their faces when he showed them a child. His child. Naomi's child. Fred had taken that from him. First by wasting his time as the OPA's leg breaker, and now by this betrayal. Holden swore to himself that if he made it off Ganymede, Fred would pay for all of it. Amos halted the group again, and Holden noticed that they were back at the port. He shook himself out of his reverie. He didn't remember how they'd gotten there.
"Looks clear," Amos said.
"Naomi," Holden said, "what does it look like around the ship?"
"Looks clear here," she said, "but Alex is worried that..."
Her voice was cut off by an electronic squeal.
"Naomi? Naomi!"
Holden yelled. But there was no response. To Amos, he said,
"Go, double time it to the ship."
Amos and the Pinkwater people ran toward the docks as quickly as their injured bodies and unconscious teammate would let them. Holden brought up the rear, shouldering his assault rifle and flicking off the safety as he ran. They ran through the twisting corridors of the port sector, Amos scattering pedestrians with loud shouts and the unspoken threat of his shotgun. An old woman in a hijab scurried away before them like a leaf driven before a storm. She was dead already. If the protomolecule was loose, everyone Holden passed was dead already. Santachai and Melissa Supateaporn and all the people they'd come to Ganymede to save. The rioters and killers who'd been normal citizens of the station before their social ecosystem collapsed. If the protomolecule was loose, all of them were as good as dead. So why hadn't it happened? Holden pushed the thought aside. Later, if there was a later, he could worry about it. Someone shouted at Amos, and Amos fired his shotgun into the ceiling once. If port security still existed outside of the vultures trying to take a cut of every incoming shipment, they didn't try to stop them. The outer airlock door of the Somnambulist was closed when they reached it.
"Naomi, you there?"
Holden asked, fumbling in his pockets for the swipe card. She didn't reply, and it took him a moment to remember he'd given the card to Wendell.
"Wendell, open the door for us."
The Pinkwater leader didn't reply.
"Wendell?"
Holden started, then stopped when he saw that Wendell was staring wide-eyed at something behind him. Holden turned to look and saw five men, Earthers, all of them, in plain gray armor without insignias. All were armed with large bore weapons.
"No,"
Holden thought, and brought his gun up and across them in a full auto sweep. Three of the five men dropped, their armor blooming red. The new Holden rejoiced. The old was quiet. It didn't matter who these men were. Station security or interplanet military or just leftover mercenaries from the now destroyed shadow base, he'd kill them all before he let them stop him from getting his crew off this infected moon. He never saw who fired the shot that took his leg out from under him. One second he was standing, emptying the magazine of his assault rifle into the gray armored fire team, and the next, a sledgehammer blow hit the armor on his right thigh, knocking him off his feet. As he fell, he saw the two remaining gray armored soldiers go down, as Amos's auto shotgun unloaded in a single, long roar. Holden rolled to his side, looking to see if anyone else was hurt, and saw that the five on his side had been only half of the enemy team.
The Pinkwater people were raising their hands and dropping their weapons as five more gray-armored soldiers came down the corridor from behind. Amos never saw them. He dropped the expended magazine from his auto shotgun and was pulling a new one off his harness when one of the mercenaries aimed a large weapon at the back of his head and pulled the trigger. Amos's helmet flew off, and he was slapped forward onto the corrugated metal decking with a wet crunch. Blood splashed across the floor where he hit it. Holden tried to get a new magazine into his assault rifle, but his hands wouldn't cooperate, and before he could reload his gun, one of the soldiers had crossed the distance and kicked the rifle away from him. Holden had time to see the still-standing members of his Pinkwater team disappear into black bags before one came down over his own head and plunged him into darkness.